The fourth hour of First Up continues here, and it's Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo. You're listening to TSN 1050. For many years, Coco, we've had Cam Jansen as a regular contributor to our program. But look at Cam going out and getting his own morning radio show. Mm-hmm. So he's out, but no worries. We have the superior member of the Cam and Strick pod joining us now. It is Andy Strickland. What's going on, Andy? How are you?
Boys, everything is good, man. It feels good today. Snow is in the forecast. We should be getting some snow here over the course of the next few days. But a little bit of a brisk morning. But it feels good, man. I'm telling you this. Like, the hockey fan here is just, I mean, they're just pumped up. It's like, it's an amazing feeling. Like, the morning after a game, like last night, missing several key players, they win a game, the Kraken were in town. Unfortunately, Jaden Schwartz wasn't here. Would have been nice to see him make his comeback while he's played his first game back here in St. Louis. But, no, it's a, they got a good thing going. It's just kind of interesting. I don't know if they're under the radar up there or not, like, in terms of Colorado and Vegas and all these other teams maybe getting more attention, but the Blues are a good hockey team.
No doubt, and we'll dive into that later on in the interview. But just quickly before we do, you mentioned Jaden Schwartz's return. Where do you stand on these tribute videos that players get when they go back to their old teams? There's been a lot of talk online about, you should play a certain amount of games. You know, maybe they shouldn't do them at all. You're seeing every time a Leaf, former Leaf comes to town, they're getting a tribute video. But where do you stand on these tribute videos that players are getting?
Well, listen, last night wasn't even a video for Vince Dunn. It was a, they just showed like his picture on the Jumbotron, you know, like a graphic that was created. Welcome back, Vince. And you know how it is, Carlo, here, you know, the fans, they all get up, standing ovation. They love their former players. You know, they treat them like their own, you know, the Cardinals have been doing that for years. Although, you know, for a long time, I mean, depending on where you go, because like when guys like Brendan Shanahan, Brett Hall, Chris Pronger, when these guys would leave the Blues and they'd come back here playing for like a rival team, whether it was Dallas or Detroit or whatever it was, you know, the Boo Birds would come out. Yeah. I like the tribute video, but it has to go to a player that truly made an impact and made their mark with that organization. And in the case of Vince Dunn, he was part of a Stanley Cup championship team, so he absolutely deserved a tribute video. But the Blues are selective in terms of who they give it to. It's not like anybody who played in St. Louis and put the Blues jersey on automatically gets a tribute video. You have to fall into a certain category, Carlo.
What do you remember about the Carlo Koliakovo tribute video when he made his return to St. Louis?
Oh, it's easy. I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
No.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on. Did you ever, I'm trying to remember, I mean, how many times did you come back here and play after you left?
How many? Well, at least a handful, for sure. I mean, it's ironic. The year that I left, I went to the Red Wings, and the first game of the season was against the Blues in St. Louis.
Wow.
I didn't get no tribute video. All I did was get a shot in the throat by Roman Polak.
Oh, my God. And that would only happen to Carlo, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he stepped over the red line. This is Roman Polak for you. Stepped over the red line, took a slap shot in to dump it in, and shot it at my throat. Like, it's what are you doing, man?
It's not a Bills fan. I mean, he's angry.
That's why I said, you got to fall into a certain category.
Right.
To get the tribute video.
Remember, it was the trade of me and Steen that set up the path for the Blues to be a contender and ultimately win a Stanley Cup championship. So you got to go back to the grassroots as to everything happens.
I know. I remind you all the time. It was my first trade that I made. And I've made several since then now, Carla. You know that. But for people who don't know over there in Toronto, I wrote they needed a defenseman, and Carlo Koliakovo was available. I said, hey, they need to trade for Carlo Koliakovo. I'll never forget. A high-ranking Blues executive, when the Blues made the deal, I got a text message saying, your first deal. Now, I didn't know Alexander Steen would be a part of the deal. And, he ended up having just an incredible run here in St. Louis. And Carlo had not just one, but two runs here in St. Louis.
Right.
Andy, from one not-so-Hall of Fame defenseman.
He's like one run shy of being David Perron.
Every time David Perron wants a contract renegotiated, he just goes to Doug Armstrong to get it done because he's the only guy he's negotiated with.
Our guest is Andy Strickland from the Cam and Strick pod, and from one not so amazing St. Louis Blues defenseman to one who certainly was in Chris Pronger. I know you sat down with Pronger in advance of his jersey retirement on Monday evening, I believe it is, in St. Louis. I know our own Jamie McLennan will be in attendance for it as well. What are the Blues and what do you guys have prepared for Pronger's return and his, I guess, number 44 being raised to the rafters?
Well, I will say this. You know, the Blues do a real good job at these things. You know, you think about traditional teams like Montreal and Toronto, how they go all out for some of these ceremonies. You know, St. Louis tries to take a page out of, you know, some of those teams, you know, books in terms of how they do these tributes. And it's going to be interesting this year because, you know, COVID is in the air, you know. So, like, I mean, how is that going to impact, you know, who comes into town, who's down at ice level, and how we handle the ceremony and the, from a television standpoint afterwards, you know, different players coming into the studio and stuff like that, because we've got, like, an hour-long pregame show. But I'm looking forward to this. I mean, Chris Pronger, you could make the case he's the greatest player in the history of the Blues organization. Now, some people would say Brett Hall is that guy. You know, Brett Hall put up video game numbers here in the Blues. I mean, you think about Brett Hall, he had three straight seasons of 70 or more goals, including an 86-goal season. Like, this guy was just absolutely incredible. But when you look at Chris Pronger, just in terms of what he did, not just here in St. Louis, but, you know, taking three different teams to the Stanley Cup final, he truly is one of the all-time greats, and he's deserved every recognition that he's gotten. But he was just unbelievable. I mean, he's the last defenseman to win the Norris and the Hart in the same season. I'm not so sure that'll ever happen again, although I shouldn't say that, because Cale Makar, maybe he'll do it. And you can make the case that Makar is the best player on Colorado right now. Everyone says McKinnon. I don't know. Is Makar the best player on the team? Very well.
Good argument for it.
But Pronger was the first player to do that, you know, since Bobby Orr. And just an absolute legend, just in terms of, you know, the attitude that he brought to the ice, how he impacted the game. He could play any style. You want to play a skill game, you need somebody to run the power play. One of the best defensemen in the history of the game in terms of his ability to move the puck. His first pass ability was uncanny. I mean, he could stretch the ice, tape the tape, no look, as well as any defenseman I've ever seen. Just, he just snap it all of a sudden, you know, two zones away, you know, obviously when there was no red line, and, you know, it's on the tape. And he can get in your face. He can bring a crowd out of their seat with, you know, the theatrics and the physicality, the intimidation. You know, people call him dirty, whatever. You know, that's the way the game was played back then. I have never seen a defenseman like Chris Pronger since the day that he retired. I'm not so sure we'll ever see one again because the game has changed.
Yeah.
But a true icon, and he deserves to have his jersey retired here.
Absolutely. Hall of Famer for sure. Let's pivot to the St. Louis Blues, a team you cover in the city you live in. And I think I speak on behalf of most people that the St. Louis Blues have definitely been a pleasant surprise this year, considering, you know, some of the turnover, some of the conversation in the offseason around Tarasenko and some of their departures and even with their new additions. But it's been the growth of the young players like Thomas, Kyrou, Barbashev that have helped lead this team, you know, to the second best record in the Western Conference. But it's surrounded by great veterans like O'Reilly and David Perron. But what do you factor as the biggest reason for their success this year? Because like you had mentioned, this is a team that's gone through a lot of adversity. You know, I think they've dressed five goaltenders this year. They've had injuries. They've dealt with two bouts of COVID, but they still continue to remain the top team in the league.
Well, look who's out of the lineup last night, Carlo. Like, no Braden Schenn, no Vladimir Tarasenko, no David Perron, no Colton Parayko. Like,
wow.
I mean, and this is like, it seems like every single game, they're missing multiple players because of COVID. It's not just injuries, but it's COVID. I mean, I think they've had 19 or 20 players who have tested positive this season. So, I mean, they've had their fair share. So, I mean, all these teams that complain about it, I mean, St. Louis has every reason to make that as an excuse, and all they do is go out there and win. And like you said, five different goaltenders, all five have earned points, four have earned victories. I mean, Charlie Lindgren, this guy comes in and wins all five of his games, all four of his starts. I mean, one of the biggest surprises for me, Carlo, is just how well they're playing defensively, because I think a lot of people came into the season being like, okay, the defense, that's their weak link. But the evolution of Justin Faulk, Torrey Krug now in his second season here in St. Louis, the way those two guys have played, to complement a healthy Colton Parayko, who truly is a legitimate top five one-on-one defender in the NHL. People may want more from a two-way game, but his ability to skate the puck out of the zone and defend other team's best players and neutralize the other team's best players every single night. When this guy's healthy, he makes a huge difference. But, like you said, the huge difference for this team this season has certainly been the growth of Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrie. These guys are not just good young players. They're really, really, really good NHL players. And Kyrie obviously making the All-Star team. We'll see if Robert Thomas can get in there. They're electrifying. They've taken a lot of the pressure off of Ryan O'Reilly and David Perron and Shannon, these guys who, you know, we're used to seeing produce at a high rate. And they're driving the team offensively right now, and there's no doubt. And I'll give you one other name who's had the biggest impact on this roster and the biggest impact on Vladimir Tarasenko. Tarasenko's had a phenomenal season, just a great season. And Pavel Buchnevich has had the biggest impact of any player that Tarasenko has ever played with. Wow. I mean, what this guy has meant to Tarasenko in terms of how Tarasenko has evolved his two-way game, how hard he's working, his attitude, and just what he's brought to the team on a nightly basis. I think Buchnevich deserves all the credit. And he's also elevated the play of Ivan Barbashev, who, you know, listen, when they won the Cup, this guy was a fourth-line player. He still scored 14 goals that season as a fourth-line player. So did Sundqvist. 14 goals as fourth-line players. Now all of a sudden they've been elevated where you can put them into the top six. You can put them on the power play. Buchnevich, this guy is an incredible hockey player. Both ends of the ice, can make plays, great passer, great teammate. His teammates absolutely love him. He's got size. Like the Rangers, I know everyone's like, well, they had to move him because they couldn't afford him. Well, you know, sometimes you just got to find a way to keep your best players and move other guys. But I mentioned Barbashev making, like, what, 2.2, Kyrou Thomas, 2.8. You know, they get Buchnevich a 5.8. I mean, and the way they piece the different pieces together, the puzzle pieces, you don't have guys here making $10, $11 million. It just doesn't happen. Yet they are truly a team, and they play like a team every single night. It's somebody different who steps up.
Sounds like you're taking a shot at the Toronto Maple Leafs there, $10 million players.
Kyle Dubas just texted me, and he says, get this guy off the air. That's what he says. Hey, our guest is Andy Strickland. Okay. From the Cam and Strick podcast. Go ahead, Andy. Go ahead.
Well, Kyle knows. I've been checking. I'm trying to get him to do the damn podcast. Him and Shanahan. So let's go. We want to talk about this. But I'm not going to blame Dubas. I mean, listen, you've got these great young players. They've got the leverage. But let me just say this, though. As much as I like Dubas, and I've known Dubas for a long time, ever since he was working with Carlo's former representation, you go back a long time ago. When Kyle Dubas was scouting U14 AAA hockey, you know, asking me about kids who played for the St. Louis AAA Blues at the time. That's how far back I go with Kyle Dubas, back when Carlo was playing. But, you know, I will say this with confidence. If Doug Armstrong, if he was put in that situation, okay, where you had a superstar young talent coming out of entry level, whether it's Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner, whoever it is, they're not making $10, $11 million. I can tell you that right now. That would not have happened.
Andy, I quickly want to ask you about something that happened on the Cam and Strick podcast this week, and it basically made international headlines. Bobby Clark coming on the show and basically torching Ron Hextall for drafting Nolan Patrick over Heiskanen, or I guess more so Cale Makar. At what point during that interview did you guys realize, oh, baby, we have a monster on our hands?
Well, and that's a great question. But it's funny because I was saying this to Cam yesterday. We've only had one interview. We've done like 170 of these, and there's one interview that we've had that, like, you can say, okay, it was just, I mean, when we're doing it, it's just okay. I feel like every interview we do, because, you know, all these guys played in different eras. Some were Hall of Fame players, some were fighters. You know, some were glue guys, some were goaltenders. You know, everybody made their impact in a different way. Not everybody, you know, is a household. I mean, they're all household names. I shouldn't say that. But not everybody, you know, brings the same level of iconic stature that a Bobby Clark brings to the table. So I think it was everything coming together. It's an iconic player in Bobby Clark talking about another iconic name in Ron Hextall. And then, you know, you're talking about a sports town in Philly that's very loud and very passionate, and they got a lot of history. They fired their coach this year. They're struggling. So, I mean, it just kind of brought everybody, you know, just in terms of the level of emotion that spilled over. But we've had guys say crazy stuff every single episode, it seems like. And it just so happened that this time, you know, it just kind of really took off. We've had other guys say crazy stuff, too, where it's gotten a lot of attention, but nothing like this. And I think just the fact that it had to do with the people who were talking and who they were talking about in the city in terms of which they were referring to, I think maybe made it even more loud. But for those who haven't checked out the podcast, I mean, you check it out. You just kind of pick and choose who you want to listen to, and you'll hear guys, you know, make outrageous comments all the time. And you know, we try to make our guests feel comfortable. We had great conversation. It's not done in like an interrogating interview style. It's very laid back. It's very casual. We have a lot of fun with it. I feel like we try to present maybe a little bit of a different vibe, different energy than some of the other podcasts that you may hear out there. And I think guys get comfortable, and they speak their mind. There's no question about that. And also, you got a guy in Bobby Clark. I've heard from so many people, either former Philadelphia Flyers, people who are with the Philadelphia Flyers today, former players, executives, whatever. I think Bobby was speaking for not just himself, but for other people when talking about the situation with Ron Hextall. And Bobby Clark just does not care whatsoever what he says. He's going to say whatever he wants, and he doesn't care whatsoever. And you know this, Carlo, because you played in Philly. All these guys have known each other for, 40, 50 years, whatever.
Long time.
So we're talking about deep-rooted relationships. I mean, a long history with one another. It's almost like a family, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, so, you know, they just let it out.
Well, it's a testament to the great work you and Cam Jansen do on the Cam and Strick podcast. They were able to get such great guests, and they're able to feel comfortable enough just to eviscerate their former friends and colleagues. Great work, as always, Andy. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Have a great weekend. I know you'll be down at the Leafs and Blues tomorrow night. So if you see Kyle Dubas down there, say hello for us.
I will for sure, guys. Thank
All
you
right,
guys.
Buddy.
Appreciate
that. That is Andy Strickland. He hosted the Cam and Strick podcast.